Hello. Oh, I beg your pardon. I beg your pardon. I am here. I am sharing this out. I'm hoping some people would like to come and join me. I want to hear your words. I want to hear. It is a day of poetry and words for me. I'm Isawellen, and this is Isawellen Writes Stories for Adults. Tell me your adult story. Poets of solitude and drifting are here. How wonderful. I'm just sharing this out a couple places. Who else has more than one account? My internet has been running so slow. So slow. You're in the live studio. There were a couple people who said they wanted to join, so I need to tag them also. Might be interested. Addie tagged everybody. She was wonderful. Here we are. We're going to try this tonight. We've been reading poetry today, and on the 23rd, I'm hoping to host this kind of forum only for people who maybe are a little bit more uncomfortable, a little bit more unsure about their words, about how to read, about how to connect with their audience. So we're going to do that on the 23rd. I think it's 6 p.m. Eastern time or something. But I also wanted to just connect with my friends on Twitter who write and who just would love an opportunity to share in kind of a community environment that's a little bit more audio than you can do on Twitter currently or other platforms. So I have seven chat heads, so you could call in, and that means I could have seven people, and I would love to just exchange some reads. You know, what do you think? I don't know if it's going to work. You know, everybody says, yes, I'll do it, and then I get crickets. Can I just whine a minute? You know, I do still have my air conditioner on. I might turn it off. Oh, Matt's calling in. Hi, Matt. Yes. Thank you for not leaving me here with crickets, Matt.
You're welcome. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
I'm okay. Thank you.
I've been looking forward to this all day. Have you brought some poems to share?
I got a couple organized. I wasn't sure how many people were going to be here. So
I know, me neither. And you know what? I don't have any. This show is really about reading and kind of that exchange of words. And I can read as well. And we'll just see how it goes. And if people raise their hand and say, me, I'll be happy to invite them on. And if they don't, well, it'll just be us. And we'll just, you know. I'm fine with that too. I'm flexible that way. I'm not going to be, you know, I'm flexible with that, with the chance to just hear your words again and share words again. So I see people coming in. Yay. So yeah, if you want to, this is the live chat too. You can always comment, feedback. Interaction is really, I don't know if people understand for a writer how valuable interaction is. There's some writers who are really kind of more, these are my words, I'm going to stand on them, I'm not going to change them for nobody, this is what I want to write, you know. And then, you know, there are others like me that the words don't have power unless somebody hears them and relates to them. And so feedback is just, you know, people pay for that stuff. you pay for the feedback and getting feedback in at exchange. And then a couple writers today were talking about the power of how much reading poetry changes it and gives it shape and form and informs the kind of adds that extra layer and texture to words. And I agree with that as well. So that's kind of the whole point, you know, of this is the exchange of words and ideas and yeah, all that. So you told me once in your other interview that you had actually done some kind of public reading before. What was that like? Had you done or like shared or recorded or something? I mean, did you have, was that a positive experience? I don't necessarily mean public reading, you know, like on a street corner in the public, you know, I don't know. That might be fun too.
I've never done, the kinds of things that Swan has done with his, slam poetry reading and things like that. I've never even, I've never listened to it live in person, but there was a prompt years ago on Twitter. I may still be there. I haven't checked it out recently. Whispering Neds. I used to read for that. He specifically wanted people to, he would give a prompt, but they were always very abstract kind of ideas so that you could write whatever you wanted and then hopefully read it. And they had some wonderful readers there. And I used to, write and read for that. And I enjoyed it. Sometimes I'd spend hours just trying to get the recording right.
It can be a little bit time consuming. I've read a couple for there's a Read Me, Speak Me,
mm-hmm. Yes,
where somebody else, you read somebody else's poetry, which is really fun. I read it was called Loch Ness, a beautiful Irish poem that was really fun, and I'm sure I just slaughtered some of the words. I had to look up,
I'm sure you didn't.
Yeah, I had to look up a couple words like, I still want to say it wrong because I want to say it Parmesan, and it's not. It's the bird, and there's no bird named Parmesan, but it's Ptarmigan. That's what it is. And I wanted, because it starts with the P. Why? What is that? I don't. And so I just want to say, yeah, Parmesan. No, that's not. It didn't. I knew that one. I knew there was no way I was going to pronounce that one correctly. So I went and, you know, Google has that great thing where you can listen to it. And, but you can't, for me, I out of sight, out of mind. If I'm, you get in a poem, there were a couple other words that I'm sure I didn't quite hit on the head, but it was still fun to read. And getting to read other people's stuff and share that is, it's almost as much fun as reading your own. I don't know. They're kind of, it's either or for me. So did you read your own in that other? Yeah, you were writing your own prompt and trying to get your own sound right. Or you were writing to a prompt, so your own poetry. Is that right?
That's right. But I think I've done one Read Me, Speak Me back at the beginning of this year. And, I enjoyed it. Haven't gone back to it. It's not part of my habit at the moment,
It can be time consuming though. I think I'm just gonna just do this really quick, and then I listen to it, I'm just gonna do this again really quick. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
no, I'm just gonna just one more time. And mm-hmm. then an hour later and I'm like, this is not what I was supposed to be focusing on right now.
That's right. I tried actually to do a poem of Swan's for Read Me, Speak Me a little while ago. And I think I did five or six takes and I was never really happy and then got distracted and ended up going home. And
Yeah,
so I need to apologize like, to Swan for that.
I'll try again some other time, but I'm done now.
Yeah.
I made my attempt. That is, I'm just checking on Twitter. A couple of people were tagged, so I wanted to make sure I wasn't getting new messages or. So if you're in the audience and you decide you want to read and contribute, just, you know, let me know. It's easier. So what I mean by let me know is when people I don't know call in without saying anything in the chat, I tend to feel like it's a soliciting call. I don't know. I respond like, who is that caller? I don't know who that, and I don't answer. So if you just say hello and you'd like to read, I'm much more likely to answer that phone call than just a blind phone call, because then I kind of want to stay on this topic. Sometimes people call in and just, hi. And then you don't know. Hi. How are you? Oh, are you here to read poetry? Oh, no, I just wanted to say hi. You know, that has happened a couple times, and a couple rare times when I've answered the message. So just kind of raise your hand and let me know, hey, I would like to read. I did mark it not safe for work. This is explicit, so you could read naughty poetry. Just be conscious, you know. Naughty, I mean sensual, dirty, romantic, kind of on the naughty side. If I don't know you and you're taking a risk and stepping out, I would rather you stay away from, you know, the controversial, you have to know what I mean, hot topics that might offend somebody. Generally, raunchy poetry doesn't, even if it's not somebody's cup of tea. You have a lot of leeway when you're writing sensual poetry or about nature or anything else. But if you're writing about political affairs, I kind of rather you didn't I just kind of keep it neutral. We could have a political show, but this is not that show. So I'm more about the human experience than the human opinion.
Yes, I can understand that.
Yeah, and the world that today is just a hard place to live in, and I don't want to ever have to take sides. I think that actually closes down communication there. Yeah, so I want to keep communication open. So if we talk about sex, that's a universal subject. And there are other subjects that are universal, love and, you know, in general, sadness, loneliness, isolation. There's a lot there that actually. Mm-hmm. So what did you bring to share? I would love to hear what, because I know it's been, we talked about it before you coming back. So this has been on your mind.
It has been, yeah. You know, I guess because, when you asked me to read some poetry last time, it reminded me that, I did enjoy reading the poetry when I was doing it with Whispering Ned's. So.
Yeah, and I loved your selections, you know, the wide range of your selections, your really long one, which tells a story and has all that fantastic imagery and feeling and moment, time capsule feeling. And actually, a couple people ended up relating to that. They're like, oh, I've been there. And I've, you know, literally, I remember that. And I'm like, oh, well, you know, and it's a different part of the world for me. But, you know, that I thought that was really cool. Oh, I've been there, you know.
I like that response.
Yeah, that's a neat response. And then your shorter poetry as well. Such a diverse, I love the diversity, just words. What did you bring?
I actually found a poem. I remember when you were talking to me, you asked me if there are any poets or poems that I really liked, and because I was so new to this and a bit nervous, I didn't really have an answer then. But I did think about it and found a poem that I do really love by an Irish poet called Lewis McNeice. So I thought if it was okay, I might read something that's not mine.
Oh, please. Absolutely. Yes.
It's a romantic poem called Meeting Point. And when I read it, I was put onto it through reading about another, or an essay, I guess, by another poet who said that, yeah, this is one of his favourite poems. And, yeah, as soon as I read it, I could kind of see why. It captures a moment between two people where they're just completely swept away by themselves, or within themselves, I guess. I guess it'd be easier to understand if I just read it.
Okay, I would love that.
Okay, here we go. This is Meeting Point by Lewis McNeice. Time was away and somewhere else. There were two glasses and two chairs and two people with the one pulse. Somebody stopped moving the stairs. Time was away and somewhere else. And they were neither up nor down. The stream's music did not stop flowing through heather, limpid brown, although they sat in a coffee shop, and they were neither up nor down. The bell was silent in the air, holding its inverted poise between the clang and clang, a flower, a brazen calyx of no noise. The bell was silent in the air. The camels crossed the miles of sand that stretched around the cups and plates. The desert was their own. They planned to portion out the stars and dates. The camels crossed the miles of sand. Time was away and somewhere else. The waiter did not come. The clock forgot them, and the radio waltz came out like water from a rock. Time was away and somewhere else. Her fingers flicked away the ash that bloomed again in tropic trees. Not caring if the markets crash when they had forests such as these, her fingers flicked away the ash. God, or whatever means the good, be praised that time can stop like this, that when the heart is understood, can verify in the body's peace. God, or whatever means the good. Time was away, and she was here, and life no longer what it was. The bell was silent in the air, and all the room one glow because time was away, and she was here.
Mm. And who was that writer again?
Lewis McNeice.
Lewis McNeice, N-A-C-E?
McNeice, N-E-I-C-E.
Ah, I like that.
Mm, yeah, it's a beautiful poem.
It is very beautiful.
And I like the way that you can see that there are two people kind of lost in a moment together in a cafe, but it's also taking you to all the places that you can imagine them going in their journey through life. So, yeah, the whole world around them is stopping. They can't even hear the bell tolling, and the stairs have stopped, and they don't notice the waiter and stuff. So, yeah.
Yeah, very intense. In that when the world stops and you're with that one person, or, what do you imagine that will be like? It makes me think it has nothing to do with what you said with the poem itself, but there was this clip of this elderly couple who must have been married forever, and they were trying to, it was like a video, they were trying to take a, make a video call, and their interaction with each other was, here they are in their 80s, and they're being videotaped, but they were alone in the world. And the romance of their interaction together was just the most amazing thing I'd ever seen. Mm-hmm. It was one of these things that you're like, people like that exist. And I almost cried. I was like, there was just such a sweetness of the harmony. And so he's trying to take pictures of her. And he's like, oh, you're just so cute. And she's like, oh, stop that. And then she takes pictures of him. And he's, and they're in their 80s, and they're trying to call grandkids or something. I don't know. And they don't know what they're doing. And they're like, well, should I go here? And he's like, I don't know. Maybe you should, or maybe I should go. And then he tickles her or something. And it was just, even though it's not that poem, sometimes a poem like what you read captures a feeling of a human, is that coming across? You capture that in whole different words.
that's
what I kept, with the time. That couple, they had no sense of their age, their time, or anything. Mm-hmm. They could have been in high school, and because the world had stopped around them because they loved each other so much. That was just, yeah, I wept. It was just like a little, look, my mom and dad trying to call me. I'm like, oh my God.
Yeah, that's, I see exactly what you're saying. And yeah, to be able to capture those moments in words and in poetry is a magical thing, I think.
If you tried to tell that story like that, what you saw, it wouldn't capture it half as well as the way the poem you just read. That's a really beautiful poem. Thank you for sharing that. If nobody is going to volunteer, I have one. I actually, and since you're reading somebody you don't know, this is one of my, I found it, it's in a list of really neat poems of, because I don't know anything about the author or anything. It's actually a list of, what is the article called? It's an article from a maggot from Book Riot, and it's 13 steamy erotic poems. And it kind of, that reduces it to like, what? But then when I, the reason I like it is the, I guess the visual sensuality of it. It captures something for me. And I've tried to write, you know, it's one of those poems you're like, I wonder if I can do that. Nope, fail. Oh, I wonder if I can do that. I'm going to try again. Nope, not quite there yet. Little,
I know that because I've tried to recreate something like the poem I just read. And yeah, I ain't got
hope. You're like, nope, not there. I'm not doing it. So this is called Basket of Figs by Ellen Bass. Mm-hmm. Bring me your pain, love. Spread it out like fine rugs, silk sashes, warm eggs, cinnamon, and cloves in burlap sacks. Show me the detail, the intricate embroidery on the collar, tiny shell buttons, the hem stitched the way you were taught, pricking just a thread, almost invisible. Unclasp it like jewels, the gold still hot from your body. Empty your basket of figs. Spill your wine. That hard nugget of pain, I would suck it, cradling it on my tongue like the slick seed of a pomegranate. I would lift it tenderly as a great animal might. Carry a small one in the private cave of the mouth. That's it.
Wow.
Yeah. I should look it up. I should find out who this writer is and see what, but I just, this one, I can smell, it feels very, Arabian Nights kind of Orient Express lovers together, you know, and their history. And the sensuality to me is more in, less in the action and just more in the way the words play out. Mm-hmm. I quite enjoy it. That's one of my favorite.
Yeah,
there's in this list, Fragment 38 by Sappho. You burn me. Anyways, I'm sorry. There, I just read two, so now it's yours.
Hang on, can you read that one again?
Oh, okay, wait. yes, I can. You know, these short ones, you have to. Okay, what was it? Fragment 32 by Sappho. You burn me. I don't think I'm saying it right. You burn me. I don't know. You know, that one would be hard. How do you get that?
Well, I think, there'd be so much in the way you said it that would change exactly how it went. Exactly what it meant.
Maybe if I was, I would have to be in a mood. I don't know. And it doesn't have, there's no punctuation. So it's not capitalized and there's no period. So really you have a lot of flexibility in how you say it, but... it's a great list. It's, what else is in this list? His Mistress Going to Bed, which is a very famous one by John Donne, if I'm saying his name right, and a few others that are well known, but yeah, the Basket of Figs is one of my favorite. Okay, I'll let.
That's gorgeous.
I would love. Yeah. If you want to read another one, I would love that.
Okay. Well, yeah, I guess I can read one of mine. Given you went kind of sensual, then I'll go back to something sensual, which is what I seem to write a lot of these days for one reason or another. But anyway, here's one I wrote a little while ago. But, I found it again the other day. And again, yeah, I'm not very good at adding titles to my poetry, so, yeah, I'll just read it. I guess you could call it Sundress. I chased you through fields of sun, your dress a summer breeze around breast and hip as you fled, giggling from my fingertips, your laughter beckoning till I quelled it with a kiss, full upon your blossomed lips and deep within a meadow of your floral scent. That's it.
Okay, yeah, I need to read it again.
I chased you through fields of sun, your dress a summer breeze around breast and hip as you fled, giggling from my fingertips, your laughter beckoning till I quelled it with a kiss, full upon your blossomed lips and deep within a meadow of your floral scent.
Oh, I like that one. Deep within the meadow of your floral scent. Gosh, that's a good ending. That's a good ending.
Thank you.
Thank you. I enjoyed that. Okay, so just to say to the audience that if you would like to join us and read, all you have to do is raise your hand and let me know that you would like to do that. Now I've read one from somebody else. I could read, I wonder if I could read it. I'm trying to look if I can pronounce everything in it. It's another poem by, this one is, do you know Pablo Neruda?
I do, yes.
Yeah.
I love his work.
This is Love Sonnet. Oh, good Lord. I think it's Love Sonnet 11. It's either 9 or 11. Which side is the I line for?
11 is on the right side.
Okay, it's Love Sonnet 11. I think I will read this one. He's got some amazing poetry. After I read any Neruda, I'm done writing for the day. But it's good to have that stuff in your head, to have those, it's good to have it, no matter what it does to you, to your mental state.
Absolutely.
Don't give up. Read the good stuff. Okay. I crave your mouth, your voice, your hair. Silent and starving, I prowl through the streets. Bread does not nourish me. Dawn disrupts me all day. I hunt for the liquid measure of your steps. I hunger for your sleek laugh, your hands the color of a savage harvest. Hunger for the pale stones of your fingernails. I want to eat your skin like a whole almond. I want to eat the sunbeam flaring in your lovely body, the sovereign nose of your arrogant face. I want to eat the fleeting shade of your lashes, and I pace around hungry, sniffing the twilight, hunting for you, for your hot heart, like a puma in the barrens of Quilraturu. I can't say it. I ruined the whole thing, but it's Quitratue, and I thought I was going to be able to nail it, but But anyways, it's okay up to there. There were a couple lines in there. I want to eat your skin like a whole almond.
Oh, yeah. That's something back when you read that.
I pace around hungry, sniffing the twilight.
You can imagine someone prowling, just
knowing
what it is they want.
Exactly, capturing that sense of feeling right there. Perfect stuff.
Oh yeah, God, that's amazing. Yeah, I don't need any more of my stuff anymore.
Oh come on. You can read. Let me see. I have all kinds of, I write endlessly. I was going to open it and have it ready for to read from. There are a couple. I would love to read some of Lisa Alliston's poetry since she's not coming on, but her punctuation, the unique way she puts things. I don't want to put emphasis. I'm very curious about how she would read it and about what it would sound, but it is a challenge to be able to, for some people to be able to, read your own stuff or read anybody's out loud. It can be very nerve-wracking and anxiety inducing. Very much. I took drama in high school, so I don't have issues. Not with that.
Yeah,
I was all, look at me. Yeah, no.
she's an amazing writer. She blows me away every time I visit her timeline.
I know. There is, I had asked her, in fact, I've talked about her actually several times on the podcast. If you guys are listening and you're wondering who we're talking about, her name, her handle is Lotus Tongue. Is that right? I believe. And is that right? I better check. But she has a way with her allegory, word allegories and combinations. It is just a unique way of looking at the world that I think it's got to come from who she is as a person. It's just so effortlessly, unique that I think every writer who to travel off the beaten path should take a look at her poetry because.
Yeah. Her use of metaphor is just, it's astounding.
Yeah. She just is. Oh, she's been writing a bunch of, she'll write them in paragraph form and sometimes in poetry form and she'll move the words around. And, there were a bunch posted that were paragraph forms. Oh, I know what I could read. There is, let's see if I can find it. It's kind of long. No, I don't think I'll do that. It is really quite long. I'm going to go back to what I was looking for before. What else did you bring to read? Are you serious? You're not going to read anymore now that I've read? Oh, I should have waited. I should have held off on the Neruda. I knew it.
Yeah, I should have waited for that one. No, that's okay. I can read some more. I've got some different stuff there. I've also got, I have a lot to do with, I work with ships on water. So yeah, I've got a little collection of poetry or classic poetry called Poems of the Sea. So I've got some other stuff that I can read from that as well. So I won't bore you all with mine.
Oh no. Is that what you're gonna? Okay, you can read somebody else now since I did too. But then the next time we come back to you, I would like to hear if you read one of yours. There you go. I'll read one of mine next too. I'll be good. Nowhere near as good as anybody else's, but I'm going to read it. I'll read it anyways. Okay, go ahead. I would love to hear. Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, so this is an older poem by Edna St. Vincent Millay, who's an American poet from a little while ago. I think I did look her up a little while ago when I first read this poem, but this poem is called Exiled. Searching my heart for its true sorrow, this is the thing I find to be, that I am weary of words and people, sick of the city, wanting the sea, wanting the sticky, salty sweetness of the strong wind and shattered spray, wanting the loud sound and the soft sound of the big surf that breaks all day, always before about my dooryard, marking the reach of the winter sea, rooted in sand and dragging driftwood, straggled the purple wild sweet pea. Always I climbed the wave at morning, shook the sand from my shoes at night, that now I'm caught beneath great buildings, stricken with noise, confused with light. If I could hear the green piles groaning under the windy wooden piers, see once again the bobbing barrels and the black sticks that fence the weirs. If I could see the weedy mussels crusting the wrecked and rotting hulls, hear once again the hungry crying overhead of the wheeling gulls, feel once again the shanty straining under the turning of the tide, fear once again the fishing freshet, dread the bell in the fog outside. I should be happy, that was happy, all day long on the coast of Maine. I have a need to hold and handle shells and anchors and ships again. I should be happy, that I'm happy, never at all since I came here. I am too long away from water. I have a need of water near. So yeah, that one's a little bit longer, sorry. But,
I enjoy the longer ones because they give me time to settle in a little bit to the rhythm. And I like the short ones, but they end too quick. I feel like I've just gotten the sound of the voice and the way that sometimes the way the syllables are, you know, I've started to settle in and then, oh, it's over. Wait, no, I need, I'm a little slow that way. Wow. And tell me again, the author of that.
Edna St. Vincent Millay.
Edna St. Vincent Millay. Okay.
Yep. Millay is her surname. Emma.
Yeah. Thank you. I'd not heard it. There's so many beautiful, amazing poets out there. You know, I'd read some a little, but I hadn't spent a lot of time reading or looking at a lot of poetry until this last year. And I still don't. I have this goal in life to like create this coffee ritual of just a poem a day, you know, sitting down with your cup of coffee and reading some poetry. I'm not quite there yet, but it is a goal. It's a of reading other people's stuff. I do have my favorites right now that I tend to read over and over, but I think that there's so much you can do in a poem. In that 5 minute, that short span of time, that 5, 10, 3 minute time that you can't do in a novel or in a longer story, that it's a format that is, it has its own importance. It has its own, its technical skill and everything else is almost in a way more important because the really good ones say a lot in very few words. And that's a skill I lack. I'm kind of all the crayons in the box still, but you know.
Yeah, I know how you feel. That's one of the things I love about poetry. It you can take a moment and make it so much bigger.
Yeah.
With just a few words. And there's another poet. She doesn't write as much here anymore. Entirety in Bits was her handle, and I always thought that encapsulated what poetry really means to me.
Entirety in Bits, wow.
The whole of something just broken down into a few little bits that create so much more. That name.
Entirety in Bits, that's a really clever name. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And she was an incredibly wonderful writer. Well, still is.
Wow.
She just doesn't write as much anymore.
Wow. I bet with a name like that, how can you not be? You have understanding of words already. It's just right there. Okay. I'm going to read a one that I wrote actually near the beginning of COVID. It has some, I have a tendency to like to add extra beats to my poems. So this one is not, if I had to, I like the story that it tells though. So I'm just going to admit right now that it has I'm probably, when I read it, some of the beats are going to be off and it might sound weird to the ear, but yeah, I'm going to read it anyways because that's just how I roll. It's called Old Man Fear. Old Man Fear, with his beard down to his knees, came a creeping and a crawling down my country street. He carried bags in his knuckled hands, the two weights heavy and death laden, dragging in the dirt. I watched him stop and open one, pull a rock from this internal hell, a gray and ordinary river stone, as big as a human skull. He passed it to my neighbor in her yard, who froze to see him standing there. He handed her the dark round rock, as if she'd been waiting for his special care. She took it in both her hands, a silent scream catching in her mouth. She brought it to her heart and her chest and bowed around the simple rock as if he'd given her gold and his treasure best. She clutched it tight to her heart instead of letting loose. Didn't sleep or eat or answer calls. Refused to release its draining toll. The weight of it a burden to her soul. She held fear's gift with all her might. Could see no other way. Frozen in her garden now, her family confused and lost, fear came by to check on her daily with his hungry, creeping glee. Watching this, I could stand no more. I crossed the boundaries of our yards, an idea to free her from her burden. I prized her rock from weakening arms. I took fear's gift from her, held so tight. She screamed at me in rage and woe, warned me that she would die. Standing in her yard, not moving forward or backwards, forgetting all the life around her, garden, joy and family, the stone she held froze her and stole her from all her life she'd ever lived. I forced the rock from her hands, could see the scar it left behind. I threw the rock as far as I could, not wanting to be caught up in its bind. I told her fear gives no gifts and leaves no treasure, only aches behind. I warned her, take his gift again. She wept and thanked me, went to her home, found her peace and her warmth and joy, until Old Man Fear came down the street again. With his beard down to his knees, he came a-creeping and a-crawling with his bag full of treats. Knew each day those heavy weights, skull-shaped stones made to drain the day and freeze a person in one place. And that's Old Man Fear.
Oh my God. That's amazing.
Oh.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you for letting me read that. I've actually had other people read it before. I've never read that one aloud. So that was a fun pleasure to share.
Oh, wow. You read it so well.
And thank you.
I didn't miss. I'm sorry. I found that the rhythm flowed beautifully.
Oh, thank you. Oh, I love you. We're best friends now. I do have a tendency to, it's just like crayons. I want to add extra beats. I want to add extra rhythm. I can sometimes smooth them out when I read them. That's why, because they sound different in my head. But that one, I don't write. I will do long form poetry and stories and stuff, but sometimes you'll have that moment of inspiration, you know, like you with your the one poem, the long one that you read, that it just, you have the story and you're able to write all the stanzas for it. You know where it's going, where it's going to end. And I don't get them that much. And so even though it's not perfect, I'm holding on to that one. There's got to be some purpose for that in the world.
Oh yeah! Don't let go of that one. That one was beautiful. That's amazing.
Oh, thank you so much.
And yeah, I know what you mean about throwing in the extra beats and syllables here. And, yeah. And it is different when you read it, especially when you're reading your own poetry, because you know what it was that you meant.
Yeah, exactly.
Like sometimes throwing in those extra beats and syllables and not putting the rhyme exactly where it might otherwise be expected.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Then, just moving it around and letting the ear hear it or something, you know, or...
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then resolving it at the end.
Oh, somehow. That's
so you create perfect. That tension and then bring it back together. So.
Yeah. That takes, I'm not really great at that. So that, you know, I do, you know, when you can write, when a poem is a whole circle, I love circles. Some people are, you know, they can relate to shapes and they're like, oh, I like triangles and I like triangle shaped art or whatever. But for me, I've done some art and I can't, I very much love the roundness of circles. I love the, you know, the Japanese art with the beautiful waves that are very rolly and so I'm very much a circle. So when, even in the writing, when you can take it and make a whole circle, I'm just, oh, yes. It's just satisfying to me.
It is, yeah.
It just has such a sense of satisfaction.
There's something about that harmony.
Yeah, there's something, you know, a triangle, all those sharp edges in a square. Are you kidding? You got to stop and start and, you know, but a circle is just, it's a whole and it's unified, you know, it defines that, right? And it doesn't matter how you stretch it or it stays a circle and yeah, and you don't have any of those sharp edges. And I think that good poetry will always somehow be a circle. And sometimes mine are wiggles, and you know, but that makes it fun too. Sometimes I do that on purpose. I'm like, how discordant can I be? So,
No. You got to have fun. You got to play.
You do, absolutely. That's the freedom of words, is playing with them. That they are actual. That when you put them in poetry, and even sometimes in stories or prose, you can. One of my favorite children's writers is Kipling. The Just So stories. The way he would talk to his audience, he'd be like, "Come now, best beloved, let's palaver and have a quint," you know. And he would make up words and or change words that meant one thing and change them into something else for his child audience. That creeps into my writing so much because I've read them so much because I love them. I just think that there is a nuance in that those children's stories that we miss out on as adults. I don't.
Yeah,
he got to play.
Yeah, and when you can come across someone that plays like that with words, you know, it makes it joyful sometimes.
It does. It very much does. It a little bits of whimsy here and there, and there's nothing wrong with that. So, and it doesn't matter. You can put that in anything.
Absolutely.
Would you
sorry?
Oh, go ahead. Finish your
I was
thought.
Just going to say that's also the beauty of language, is alive. So, you know,
yeah,
you can change it, you can play with it, you can make up new words because
it,
you
know, is.
It's always evolving.
How true is that? It is alive. It is in the true sense of the word. You know, you have generations that are making words their own and redefining them. I've talked a lot about how. This is just the way words are defined. So if you're in the BDSM, if you're in the I've discovered a lot of that in some of my words, but in the BDSM or the submissive and dominant community, everybody, it's just a word, dominant, but everybody defines it differently. It means, and the meaning to them is personal and powerful, and and how they define it is really important. They're very passionate about their definition for the word, for what it means. But it's not a universal meaning. And submissive, it's the same thing. It's a noun, it's an action, and it doesn't have a universal meaning. And like love and truth these days, you know, people, we don't talk about it very much, but they don't have universal meanings anymore. People approach them differently. They experience them differently. And so getting to play with those and change them and do different things with them is always fun. I tried to, my last novel, I tried to make a verb a noun, and I thought it was very clever. And I had everybody's like, no, it's not going to work. We just were like, what? Where's the rest of the sentence? And I'm like, but that is the sentence. It was, you know, and they're like, no, I'm not getting it. And it's in a novel and it's a commercial novel. So I had to change it, which made me a little sad because I thought it was really, it's just there out of reach. But, you know, I'm like, you know, that action though, it describes the noun of her being so well. Why do I have to, you know, change? You just have no imagination.
Yeah. Why do you need to stick to those rules? It's funny that.
I know. Because then it would have been a typo. They would have been like, where's the rest of the sentence?
Yeah. It's funny that people won't accept that in, as you say, prose, fiction, or writing. But if you put that in a poem, they probably would have accepted it.
Oh, I know. Exactly. So much so. So much so. Fussy Ben 22. I would love to have you read, but I need you to tell me what you want to read and who you are if I'm going to answer the phone. So you need to comment in the chat. And I think it's Fussy Ben 22. Fussy Ben 22. I don't know. Fushi. I need an introduction because I don't recognize your call sign. So you're totally welcome to come on the show. I just need to know who you are. Would you read one more, please? We've been on almost an hour, so just us talking words, but I'm having a great time. I hope you are too.
I'm enjoying it. Thank you.
Oh, good. Would you? Yeah, I'd love for you to read something else. And it can be yours or, it's your turn. I read one of mine. Now you got to read one of yours.
Okay. I don't know what to read now. Do I read?
Anything.
I've got a couple here that aren't necessarily terribly upbeat. They're a little bit heavier and emotional.
Oh.
Or I can go for something that
Take us down into the depths of despair. We haven't touched that yet, which is poetry is great for that too. I don't have any of that with me. I had some, but I would if I had it. I'd read it if I had it, but I don't. So take us down in the, some of that is the best poetry, you know, that ever, because it's so true.
Okay, this one, is called Taken Off the Table, and is one of mine. Dessert was taken off the table that night, even before we went to bed. Berries, yogurt, and our old favourite preserve were missing from the breakfast table over a newspaper that wasn't read. Lunch became a salad of Chablis and barely picked at greens, sat at a bench looking out our tables, full of couples gazing at futures between them while our eyes never met. We gave up on a main course conversation that night as wine became water and the table wasn't littered with the crumbs of a past in which we'd once broken bread. And all of a sudden our meals together were over and nothing further was ever said.
Wow, what a way to you approach that subject. Wow. That's really cool. I know it's a sad subject, but that you come at that, you know, the relationship in the sense of meals eaten together and how that was a full, that's kind of a really unique way to approach that and so vivid.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I guess that means, okay, I'll read a short.
It's your turn.
Yeah, I guess so. No, that's not what I want. I could just read something Actually, there was one I posted to Twitter the other day, but I wasn't able to capture it. I couldn't. And then I went back and I had a little help looking at it, reworking it so that it came to better. It captured more kind of what I wanted. So, I will read that one. Where is it? Okay. It doesn't have a name. I guess I would name it Childhood. Mm-hmm. Chasing light bubbles, humming dreams of innocence in sun-bleached sheets. Our rows and lines hung out to dry, to curtain the day with the ghost of cut grass, haunting my senses. It's all 1976. Broken fingernails, dirty knees, climbing to the tops of trees. Then the tumbling down like kites drop, falling into exhausted sleep and paisley patterned dreams. Yeah, I reworked it from quite a bit, and to try and capture that, 1976, really. And playing outside all day. Oh, yes. Maybe I'll read it better this time. Okay, I'll try and read it again. Chasing light bubbles, humming dreams of innocence in sun-bleached sheets. Our rows and lines hung out to dry to curtain the day with the ghost of cut grass haunting my senses. It's all 1976, broken fingernails, dirty knees, climbing to the tops of trees. Then the tumbling down like kites drop, falling into exhausted sleep and paisley patterned dreams.
Oh, wow. You can smell that. The ghost of cut grass.
Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome.
Did you remember when... I mean, my kids, my poor kids, the era was different. They did play outside. It's not like they never played outside, but I grew up on a farm kind-ish. We had 7 acres, and my dad mm-hmm. cutting the grass, you know, on a hot day mm-hmm. and climbing trees and hanging out the laundry to dry and all the stuff you get into and being outside until just after dark. And, you know, yep. And just that I don't think my kids didn't necessarily experience that. Their experience is going to be a little bit different, I think. And if I write a childhood theme, it would be kind of some of that sense of carefreeness that we used to, to have, you know, that we never... It's not that bad things weren't happening, because they were, but, you know, the lack of digital.
Far more analog. And it didn't, there seemed to be, or innocence, I think, lasted a little bit longer.
I think so too. And it was a different kind of innocence. I was telling a friend that where we used to live, it was big enough that there were all kinds of birds and animals and stuff. And I would always try to nurse them back to the health, and they would die. And, you know, my parents, as long as they were outside, they were fine. It was that kind of hopeful this time, but pretty much every time they'd die, and there was an animal graveyard, right? It was funny because, personal story. The house that I lived in when I was very young, probably till about 8 years old, my parents, my mom and my dad lived in. It was a house they bought when they married, and then they separated, and my mom and my brother and I lived there until about 8. And then my mom didn't really want that big house and all the yard and everything. That was not her dream. So my dad took it back and lived there, and then married a stepmother. And my stepmother was a gardener, and she was the one who's like, "What the? Where? Why are these animals? I just keep, it's like a bird and a rat. What if, you know?" She just constantly, because it was right, my mother didn't care. So it was right in front of the house, just this soft bed. of animal bones. And you know, at the time I was young enough that if I found a poor departed, you know, dead animal, oh yeah, I got a place for you. And I was such a farm kid. Oh gosh. Who knew? Disease? What? Fleas? Oh, nah. My mother, wash your hands.
Imagine the garden that would grow there now, though.
I know, right? Oh, yeah. She had beautiful, beautiful garden there. Foxgloves, you know, just all kinds of. Yeah, it did grow really well because it was very well fertilized with dead frogs, everything, tadpoles. I mean, there was no, I'm so disorganized. It's not like I sectioned it off. I did make little wooden crosses for everything.
You're respectful.
Yes, yes, very respectful. You know, you got to honor your dead. The poor birds. I was sure every time, this one time, this baby bird is going to, I'm going to be able to nurse it back to health and it's going to be my friend and ride on my shoulder and go to school. Yeah, no. That was my innocence, my hope every single time, I swear. Okay, I'm going to ask you for one more and then I'll let you go. I've enjoyed this so much. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you so much for inviting me on. It's been fun. I don't know what to read now.
You could read it. I'm a dirty podcast. You might as well close me out with something sensual. I mean, come on. You might as well. I didn't read it. I did read the fig, basket of dates. So
yeah, that was, yep, that gave me an appetite.
It's a beautiful poem. It's beautiful.
Okay. This is one that I wrote just the other day, actually. With a couple of prompt words from a chat room. You would call it a not-safe-for-work chat room, I guess. Dominant and submissive tendencies. Anyway, here we go. Yet again, no title. Let's call it dichotomy. A dichotomy, if you will. One in which to chaos I'd have you spill, spiraling between the luxurious exuberance of a leather-bound snap and sizzle, or being bade to watch forlorn as I gently touch, slowly, teasingly, stoking a need to fuck.
Gotta love the Nazi for work chat rooms. I had no idea before I came to, I gotta tell you, no idea. Somebody had written some stuff about belts and I'm like, what's this? And I'm like, oh, I never ever thought of a belt that way before. Oh my. Well, that, okay. I can see that. Yeah. That's so not my life. Yeah, no, I mean, it changed the whole definition of a leather belt. And the thing is, you got to have a good belt too, because the cheap belts, you got to have a full leather. That's a rare kind of belt these days. You're not just going to Target for that belt. That's a.
It is.
And it's got that. There was a fleet the other day. Sometimes on my fleets, I don't know, but he just, and all he did was snap it. And the question was, are belts a thing? And I'm like, I think so. Maybe they might be a thing. I don't know.
Yes, even better when they're nicely woven and there's a bit of a pattern to them.
Yes. I had no idea. And I write some of that stuff. I was writing it before, but it was all metaphorical. I don't know. It was something I read somewhere else and I thought, oh, I'll throw that in. And now, oh, yeah, I've gotten a little bit of an education in the last year. I gotta say. Anyways, thank you so much, Matt, for coming on. I really enjoyed you reading other poems and this was fun. I wish more people had joined, but it's okay that they didn't. I had a great time. So,
well, yes, maybe next time.
Thank you
for having me on again so soon.
I loved it. I wanted to make sure I got a chance to do that. I enjoy your reading so much and just getting the chance to to hear the words. It's all I've been doing today, and it's been a good day. It's been a very good day.
Yeah, so, I've had some good podcast today. It's been great listening to them.
I know, it's been fun and different voices and sounds, and I'll definitely re-air this. Actually, if you go to the Podbean Iswellen, you can Google them together, and it's like Podbean/Iswellen or something. I didn't realize it, but the lives do post automatically. I do tend to download them and re-upload them into my podcast stream, because those are the ones that populate to Apple and stuff. But the lives you can get on the Podbean kind of website. So if somebody missed a live and wanted to go back and listen to them, they are there. I do re-up them, but they're also so you have double ways to listen. So thank you, Matt, and you have a really great what time is it? You're kind of way. It's kind of what,
lunchtime.
Lunchtime. So have a good lunch, and
I will.
And, no, that doesn't work. if you saw my toes, you would rethink that question.
You did wet my appetite before, so.
Yes. You better go eat. Go find some figs and dates, and I'll talk to you soon. You have a good evening.
You too. Thank you so much.
Bye-bye. Okay.
So, yeah.
Thank you, everybody, so much for coming on and for listening. And for if you listen to the replay, I really appreciate you. I want to hear your words. I want to hear you read them. I cannot wait for that. Be bold. Step out. Write the story. Read your words. Share. Have a great evening.